Yes, those are the sounds that bring in one Ray Fittipaldi of the Post-Gazette. Everybody loves Raymond. Ray's brought to you by LGKG Injury Lawyer, 7 locations in the Pittsburgh region. They'll take your personal injury case personally. LGKG.com. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Ray, word is that you were on this station at some point this week. Limits and I can't find out where and when and why, but you were, and seemed to indicate that maybe Russell Wilson's going to be out longer than some people think.
Is that... I found where, if you want to hear it.
No, we have the guy on with us, City Limits. What is happening here,
Ray? You asked me to look for the clip before the show today, and
I know,
found it.
Because we're going to play it at the beginning of the show when you didn't have it.
I had it an hour before the show.
I'm sorry for this,
Ray.
It's a little family squabble. What is your position on Wilson? What are you reporting? What are you thinking, at least?
No, I mean, he hasn't been cleared medically. He hasn't participated fully in a practice since he aggravated that injury before the season started. So... I would be surprised if he plays in Indianapolis next week. Listen, he could go out there. It could be a different story next week. Maybe he does more pregame on Sunday and he's ready to go by Wednesday. But just based on what I've seen with him warming up, you know, the last couple of games, it hasn't been much. And to be honest with you, he hasn't done much more in practice either. So Russ says he's feeling better. You know, that's good news, but I still think he might be a week or two away from coming back from that injury.
Could there be an IR trip in his future?
Well, I mean, Joe, if they would have done that, I mean, if they were going to do that, they should have done it, you know, when it happened. So that's why everyone was speculating that he would be back for the Indianapolis game because, you know, once you go on to IR, you have to be on there for 4 weeks before you can come back. So that's why people are saying, oh, well, he's definitely going to come back for Indy. Well, you know, that's all fine and good, but he has to be cleared medically. He has to practice, and the coaches have to be satisfied with his movement ability before that happens. And, you know, we just haven't really checked off any of those boxes yet. That's why I'm a little bit skeptical, you know, that he'll be ready 9 days from now for the Colts game.
There's a headline on SteelersDepot.com that has your name in it, Ray. It says Fittipaldi, maybe Mike Tomlin, quote, laying the groundwork for transition from Wilson to Fields as named starter. What do you mean by this?
I wish I got royalties for all my Steelers Depot headlines, first and foremost. Yeah, I mean, listen, I think we're going to have the conversation at some point, Joe, that if Justin Fields keeps winning, that it's going to get harder for Mike Tomlin to make that move. Now, of course, everything hinges on Sunday. If the Steelers lose to the Chargers by 2 touchdowns and Justin Fields doesn't play well, then, of course, Russell Wilson's going to waltz back in and, you know, everything's going to be fine and dandy from his perspective. But as long as the Steelers keep winning, you know, I think it's going to be a hard decision for Mike Tomlin to make. And, you know, we'll see what happens after Sunday. But Justin Fields has done enough right now to be in consideration to be the starter, and he's only going to bolster his reputation within that building if he keeps on winning.
There seems to be a feeling within the locker room. We heard from Arthur Smith yesterday that momentum is building with this offense and the dam's about to break. Do you share that opinion?
Listen, I understand where Arthur is coming from. You know, they had a really good first half in Denver, Joe. I mean, they got into the end zone. You know, they probably should have got in, you know, one more time. That probably should have been a bigger lead at halftime. And then, you know, penalties just killed them in the second half. They were constantly shooting themselves in the foot and facing an uphill battle, and that kind of became a rock fight there in the second half. So, you know, if they can put two halves together like the first half in Denver, then, yeah, I could see them scoring 24, 27 points a game, but they are who they are, Joe. You know, they scored 18 in the opener, all on field goals, and they only scored 13 last week. So until you put it out there as evidence, I think people are going to be skeptical.
How would you grade Fields so far? Give him a grade through two games, and do you think it's going to get better and better, or do you think this is pretty much the way of it?
I'll go a solid B. No turnovers is the key stat for me. Joe, with this defense and the way this running game is going, he doesn't have to win games for the Steelers. He just doesn't have to lose them. And I know that might be a low bar, you know, if you're thinking about being a playoff team, but I'll be honest with you. If you look around the NFL, the Steelers can easily get to 9 or 10 wins just playing the way they are right now. I mean, if you need evidence of that, you look back at the last couple of years when they've been around 500 with quarterback play that's been less than ideal. So, I would expect Justin to get more comfortable. Yeah, I think he can get better, but I don't expect him to all of a sudden start throwing for, 250, 275 yards in a game and throwing three touchdowns. That's not who he is, and that's not who the Steelers need him to be.
Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette. Read his stuff at postgazette.com. Kind of what you just said there, I was thinking about this a lot last night and today as I was reading stories from the Post-Gazette, and also it's become a national story, is how the NFL, through a couple of weeks anyway, and it doesn't seem like a small trend either, the numbers are startling, is becoming perhaps more and more of a run-the-ball, lower-scoring field goal league, and that seems to play right into Mike Tomlin's hands, doesn't it?
It does, and just look at this week's opponent, Joe. I mean, Jim Harbaugh has who I think is a top five or definitely a top 10 quarterback in Justin Herbert. I mean, that guy's a really good athlete, and he can throw the ball too. And I think a lot of coaches would come in and they would do the opposite. But what Jim Harbaugh is doing is he's playing to his personality. He's doing what he did in San Francisco and what he did at Michigan. He wants to play smash mouth football. He wants to play defensive football. And, he wants to play in these low scoring, football games. And, Justin Herbert, I think, has one more passing yard this season than Justin Fields. And if you look at their rushing stats, J.K. Dobbins is almost up around 10 yards per carry. I mean, it's crazy what they're doing with their running game so far. So, yeah, there's going to come a time when the Chargers need Justin Herbert. There's going to come a time when the Steelers need Justin Fields to maybe, lead a comeback in the fourth quarter. But, the way they're playing right now and the way they're executing these victories, I could easily see this being played out over the course of the season and both these teams being squarely in contention for a playoff spot come December.
We're going to see Roman Wilson on Sunday?
Well, he was full yesterday for the first time since late July, Joe, so that's a great sign. I think it would be against Mike Tomlin's past if he did get a helmet, because I think usually he likes more of a ramp-up period for his rookies who miss, we're talking about almost 5 weeks now for Roman Wilson. But they're in dire straits, Joe, with their receiver situation. So if they're desperate like that and they feel like he can give them a boost, even if it's only for 5 or 10 snaps on Sunday, maybe they would do it. But I would think more likely the case is going to be he doesn't play on Sunday. And then, if all goes well next week, he practices every day, then I could easily see him, having a bigger role against the Colts.
Fan Hotline, Ray Fittipaldo's on it, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We want you back with us again and again to talk more Pittsburgh sports. Don't be a statistic. Get your heart checked by the experts at UPMC. Ray, you watched that touchdown catch by Mount Washington last week, and I know for some of us, you start to wonder, could he be a part of the regular offense? I heard Kabali talking about this, and he said the hands aren't the problem. It might be getting open and those knees moving around. Is that true? Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't get in and out of breaks well. He doesn't have that great quickness in the short areas. And, if you're a tight end, that's really a big part of your game, running those 7-10-yard routes. But I'll admit that was a really good route he ran against the Broncos. If he can do that every once in a while, that's going to be great, for the Steelers offense. But, his biggest role continues to be his blocking. And if you watched any of those running clips from Sunday where, he's leaning on that defensive end there with the tackle and, they're getting great movement, that's going to be his biggest contribution to this football team. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully he can continue to contribute a little bit in the passing game. But, you know, that's why they signed Pat Freiermuth to, you know, that $12 million a year contract. When they need a big play from their tight end, 90% of the time it's going to be Pat Freiermuth.
Yeah, when's the first one coming? He has 8 catches for like 60 yards. I mean, is that going to change over the course of the season and no touchdowns?
Yeah.
He's a middle of the pack tight end in my estimation, until proven otherwise.
Yeah, I think that time's coming, Joe. If you really you look at the targets, he's the second leading target on this team behind George Pickens. Eventually the big plays are going to come. You know, they'll find ways to get him the ball in space, and he'll get yards after the catch. He's shown he can do that in the past, and I have no doubt that that will, you know, continue here in the future. And, Joe, they need it from him. Van Jefferson has played a bunch of snaps, has contributed almost next to nothing. Calvin Austin has played fewer snaps, and, you know, his production is way down there too. So, number one, they need Roman Wilson to come back and to be a factor. But number two, Pat Freiermuth has to be a bigger factor too. And I think that's coming here in the short-term future.
Cam Hayward so far, a lot of us wondering what were we going to see. I think he looks pretty good through a couple weeks. You?
Yeah, I mean, they're not playing him like 80% of the snaps. I think they're keeping it, you know, down to like around 60, 65%, which I think is perfect for a guy who's 35, turning 36 next year. You know, Larry Ogunjobi's playing well. It's interesting. Terrell Austin was talking to us yesterday. You know, they raved about DeMarvin Leal throughout the summer. What a great training camp he's had. Joe, he's played 9 snaps in the first 2 weeks.
Now, right.
Some of that might have been Austin just kind of poo-pooing that maybe Leal isn't ready to contribute yet, but I think a lot of that is Cam Hayward's playing good, Larry Ogunjobi's playing good, Keanu Benton's playing good, and Isaiah Loudermilk, also as a reserve, has been playing well. So when Austin says that those guys are playing good, and you know they're in these games that are being shortened by you know the good offense that the Seahawks have, the time of possession has been in their favor. The snaps just aren't there. But I think this defensive line, led by Cam Hayward, has been a pleasant surprise here in the early going.
Is there any chance that little Jiminy Harbaugh comes in here and surprises the Steelers by unleashing Justin Herbert on them instead of trying to pound them into the ground with a run game if he can move around adequately, Herbert?
Yeah, I mean, Joe, are Herbert's receivers any better than the Steelers?
No.
I think he's going to play to his strengths, and his strength right now is his running game. And, Justin Herbert's going to get out there and make some plays. I don't think he's going to throw for, you know, 140 yards every game like has been the case the last 2 weeks. So eventually he'll get going too. But this has all the earmarks of a 17-14 game. So this game might be over at 3 o'clock, 3:30 on Sunday if both teams play the way they want to play. I think it's going to be a game where it's going to be played to both teams' personalities. And, you know, if you like defense and you like the running game, this is a good game for you on Sunday.
Percent chance, in your not-so-humble opinion, that Russell Wilson never starts a game for the Steelers?
2%.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I think sometimes these things work themselves out, Joe, and Steelers will lose a game. You know, they'll call on Russ at some point. Like I said, I don't think it'll be next week, especially if they win. But, I think he'll start at least a game for the Steelers.
Limits, may I engage Ray in a game of free association?
You absolutely
Thank you.
May.
This is going to be NFL-themed. Ray, are you ready for this?
I am ready.
We all saw Aaron Rodgers look like Aaron Rodgers last night. Are the Jets a playoff team?
Looking like it, yes.
Are the Buffalo Bills a playoff team?
Yes.
Which team has a better chance to bounce back from an 0-2 start, the Ravens or the Bengals?
Joe, I'll say the Ravens because of Joe Burrow's injury history.
Who's going to win that division?
I'll still go with the Bengals because they were my preseason pick.
Will Levis has apparently lost his mind with some of the plays he's making. How soon before we see Mason Rudolph take over as the starter.
Yeah, could be this week if we see another bad turnover. So very, very soon, I'll say.
The Steelers would be 2-0 with Mason Rudolph and should have kept him, in your opinion.
Yes and no.
Mason Rudolph will have a better season in Tennessee than Justin Fields does in Pittsburgh.
Stats-wise or win-wise?
However you define a better season.
I'll say no.
The Kansas City Chiefs will represent the AFC again in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
The Chargers are for real and will make the playoffs.
It'll be close, yes, but I do think they're for real.
Did you just buzz me or Ray? What happened there?
No, that was Ray's phone.
Oh, it was Ray's phone. Where are you, Ray? It's a wonderful photo behind you of the skyline, is it?
Thank you. I have the day off today, so I am in my little den here.
What are you going to do the rest of the day?
Well, I already cut the grass, so I think I might relax a little bit.
And what does relaxing look like for Ray Fittipaldo? A little Netflix? Are you going to watch TV, watch a movie, go for a walk, play a little pickup basketball, do something with your kids?
It's funny because when I'm home alone on Fridays, there's this TV show on the American Heroes channel.
Yeah.
It's a very obscure channel. I don't know if everyone gets it, but there's a show that has a marathon every Friday called I Almost Got Away With It.
Yeah.
And it's about prison escapes. And I do my work. I do stuff around the house, and I always have that on as background on my Friday afternoons when I'm off. So that's probably what I'll do this afternoon.
It's a very interesting tidbit, is it not, Limits?
I like that a lot. How did they almost get away with it, Ray?
Yeah, that was my next question.
It's like one of these hokey like recreation shows. So like the production isn't great on it, but like the material is really good because these are real life stories that they're trying to bring to life.
Back to free association, Ray. The greater individual or greatest individual feat among these three. Ohtani goes 6-for-6 with 3 home runs, 10 RBIs, and 2 stolen bases. Mario scores 5 goals in 5 different ways in a New Year's Eve game. Or Malzi allegedly makes 9 threes in a pickup basketball game at Penn State.
I'm going to go Mario because I don't think one of his goals came against like a right fielder. What did?
One of them was without a goalie.
Yeah, I'm still going Mario. I mean, that's one of those things that's probably never going to be broken. I mean, what Shohei did last night probably isn't going to happen again either. But, hey, listen, he didn't beat Rennie Stennett. Rennie Stennett was 7-for-7, so he didn't get there.
Is Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game the greatest individual feat in sports history?
I mean, it's up there, but there's no video evidence of it, so we don't even know what it looked like, so it's hard for us.
Oh, my God. Is Ray suggesting a conspiracy theory that this didn't happen?
This is an actual theory that people believe. That
get out of here.
Donnie, I think, believes it.
Donnie believes it.
The 100-point game from Wilt Chamberlain did not happen.
Ernie Accorsi, the guy who later ran the New York Giants and won them Super Bowls, covered the game, Limits. You guys,
I'm not saying it didn't happen, Joe.
You suggested it, Ray. You suggested it might not have happened, and now you have people like Limits, a young, impressionable mind, believing you.
I said we don't know what it looked like. He could have been playing against the 6'4 center. That's all I'm saying.
He probably was.
A guy who was a plumber in the offseason.
He was playing against Malzi. Do you believe that Malzi... All right, conspiracy theories then. All right, we can dive into this. Did Malzi make 9 threes in a row? In a pickup game at Penn State? On 9 trips down the court, by the way. 9 straight trips down the court. He's full of crap.
Well, why would he lie about something like that, though? So I'm going to believe Malzi.
Why would he lie? To make people think better of him. What do you mean? Why does anybody... There's no video evidence. Steph Curry, if he walked down the court 9 straight times in a pickup game, would have a lot of trouble making 9 in a row.
How many did Malzi get at Green Tree Park this summer when they had that fundraiser?
Not many. I've seen Malzi shoot.
In a row was the most that Malzi had. 4 in a row.
Yeah, he's an okay. 4 in a row? Just standing there? What are you talking?
Just standing there, just putting up jump shots. Yeah. Malzi made 4 in a row. That's the most he made.
This did not, speaking of things that did not happen, that did not happen, Ray. Are you susceptible to conspiracy theories? I didn't know this about you. You're watching these shows about prison breaks. And now this.
I mean, I am like a JFK. I kind of want to know what happened there, you know.
Yeah.
about the moon landing, Ray? That's one that always piques my interest.
No, I think that happened.
You think the flag was waving on the moon, Ray?
Did Malzy?
Is there an atmosphere out there on the moon? Is there wind on the moon for the flag to wave?
Was Malzy first on the moon, too?
Malzy planted the flag.
Yeah, they actually landed on Malzy. They thought it was the moon. They thought his head was the moon.
The first to land on Malzy's head. That's your next documentary, Ray. This is amazing. Thank you. You were great.
All right, back to American Heroes Channel. Here we go.
Yeah, man. Enjoy your day off. See ya. What a wonderful man he is, huh? We found out a lot about Ray in a short time. He's a fascinating creature.
Yes, we quite as well did. You ever seen Shawshank Redemption?
Many times. Great movie. Wonderful movie.
Might be right up Ray's alley.
Malzy was in that movie. You probably didn't know that.
No, I did not.
All right. From here, I want to expand on this Steelers offense thing at 412-928-9370. I think there's reality, and then I think there's how we react to watching this offense based on maybe a little post-traumatic stress from recent Steeler offenses. Let's try to sort this out next.
Could I give you one quick number before we go?
Please.
I heard back from the general.
Yes.
The general says that the ball that Ohtani hit, the 50th home run for the 50-50 season, $150,000.
Right now.
Go for more because of international bidding.
Right. So if I'm that guy who left the stadium, I go see somebody like the general. I come back to the Dodgers. I say, they're telling me at least 150. So let's start at 250. Deal or no deal? And that would be it. No deal? All right, then I'll just sell it to an auction house. You can go negotiate with them.
$150,000 for a baseball. That's a ton. And I mean, just think about what it'll be worth if Ohtani, in people's mind, is the greatest player in baseball history because he has so much more time left in his career.
Hence the ask for $250,000. Do you know how little $250,000 is for Ohtani or for the LA Dodgers especially? For the LA Dodgers, that's like me or you taking out a penny and then chopping it in half somehow with some sort of device that could chop in half a penny. That's how much $250,000 is.
$150,000. He probably makes that in a day with his endorsements and his contract. I know a lot of it's deferred.
He makes $150,000 in his pregame pee.
Yeah.
All these guys do. How much is he making per year?
Well, he signed like what, a $700 million deal or something?
I mean, it's more than a million a game, I think.
10 years, $700 million. A lot of it's deferred, but 10 years, $700 million. $150,000 is chunk change to him.